Doom do 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 doom do do. Doom do 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 doom do do. Hi, plant people. Welcome to episode 34 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Plant friends, happy September. Can you believe it? I hope you are enjoying your last few weeks of summer. Honestly, I think I have sweat enough for the summer. This summer in New York City has been pretty brutal. So I'm excited for the crisp fall weather and what that is going to bring, but I'm also not quite ready to say farewell to all of my tomato plants, which are all ripening and blooming a little bit late in the season. So I'm committed to soaking up every last minute of this summer hot heat. I hope you liked our last episode on Monstera 101, and I have to tell you, I swear my Monstera that I spoke about in that episode must know that you guys responded really well to it, because in the last week, this Monstera, which if you listen to the show is a very small cutting and has never put out more than one leaf at a time, in the last week, this Monstera put out two new leaves. What? The leaves are still tightly closed, so I'm definitely living that life of holding my breath to see if one of these two little plant leaf babies is going to open and have my first leaf with holes in it, with fenestrations in it. So I will keep you posted. So today's episode is special for a couple of reasons. The first being that I am so thrilled to be welcoming Hilton Carter onto the show for a really wonderful conversation. I like to call Hilton the king of the jungle by the falls, which we will dive more into in our conversation. Hilton is just a really awesome spirit and a huge part of our online plant community. His Instagram account, Hilton Carter, has over 120,000 followers. He has the most amazing photos of his insanely beautiful and curated collection of plants, including his notable fiddly fig, Frank. And he has this event space called Jungle by the Falls, in which he has moved an entire plant collection into. In addition to the successful personal Instagram and Jungle by the Falls, he also acts as the resident quote-unquote plant doctor for Apartment Therapy's new plant-themed Instagram, iPlantEven. He gives tons of plant care advice on that account. And he also has an online store where he sells his personally designed propagation vessels, or he calls them cradles, like for his plant babies, and various plant prints and accessories. And on top of all of that, he just launched his service at the Jungle series, which is probably my most favorite part of what he does. He is hosting a monthly dinner service in this planty Jungle by the Falls event space that showcases the talents of local chefs alongside his incredible plant collection. So Hilton just has his soil-covered hands in so many different planty pots, and we discuss everything about his plant life today, in addition to his tips on styling plants for your personal design aesthetic. But before we dive into our conversation with Hilton, the second reason why today is so exciting is because, drumroll please, today's episode launches the beginning of my month-long partnership with the first official Bloom and Grow Radio sponsorship partner, the incredible company Gardenuity. So as I continue to bloom and grow my plant collection, I'm realizing, and I'm sure you guys are realizing, that I'm being very pulled to learning more about growing my own food. If you want to hear more on this, you can listen to episode 22 on windowsill herb gardening, or episode 20 on growing your own tomatoes from seed indoors. I feel like our generation is kind of disconnected to where our food comes from, and it's becoming really important to me to return to my roots, pardon the pun, and really understand this amazing, remarkable process that starts with a seed and ends up in our plate and doesn't just start at buying the box of basil at the grocery store. So when I learned about Gardenuity and all the amazing things they're doing, I knew that these founders, these incredible female founders, not only share the same sentiment, but they're devoting their lives to helping as many people grow their own food as possible. So Gardenuity is a company based out of Texas that creates custom gardening kits for new or experienced growers for both indoor and outdoor space. So if you're a beginning plant person with an indoor space, if you're an advanced plant person with outdoor space, they've got something for you. They get to know all about where you live, exactly where you live, down to your zip code and what you want to grow, and then they create a kit of custom edibles chosen specifically for you. They actually have an algorithm that looks at the weather forecast for the next 10 days in your neighborhood and then picks the herbs and vegetables that will specifically thrive in your exact location and only lets you choose from those. How cool and nerdy is that? That's one of my favorite parts of this company. They're just so intentional with setting their clients up for success. So they send you this fun kit that not only has your custom plants, but also has custom-built compost for whatever specific plants you choose. And after the kit is assembled, they have a Grow Pro support service that sends you emails with growing and harvesting tips and recipes to make with whatever you're growing. And they also have a 24/7 help messaging service on their website, which I've used and has been really amazing. And if you select an outdoor kit, they will actually even send you personalized weather warnings for your plants. So if there's a heat wave coming, they're gonna like let you know a heat wave's coming. This is what you have to do to make sure your plants don't die. Like I said, so intentional. I also previously mentioned this, but I love that Gardenuity is founded by two incredible female entrepreneurs. I have so much respect now that I'm becoming a female entrepreneur myself. Women who have made it happen are so inspiring to me. And these women have just fostered incredibly amazing relationships with the farmers who ship directly to you. I've been growing the outdoor kit on my balcony for the last month, and I have to say the assembly of the kit is so fun. It's like a mad science project. You can check my pinned Instagram stories for the unboxing and the setting up. And my herbs have just been so happy. And when I had an issue with one of the herbs, I used the 24/7 messaging system and they helped me immediately and it was so easy. And as someone who still sometimes needs some help with my gardening, I'm really passionate about it, but I don't know everything. I still call my mom all the time for questions and, you know, hello, that's why I made this podcast. It's just so great that they've helped take the guesswork out of it and have this incredible support system for once you get the kit. They're not just shipping you a plant and then forgetting about you. I also love that it's entirely seasonal. So although we're officially out of tomato growing season, they have a whole selection of stuff on their website that you can grow into the fall with savory fall recipes. So how cool would it be if you were at Thanksgiving this year and you could be like, oh yeah, the sage and the turkey and the carrots, those are actually from my garden. How cool is that? So if you're interested in learning more about Gardenuity, visit Gardenuity.com, GardenUity.com. And for Bloom and Grow listeners, use the code BLOOM, B-L-O-O-M, at checkout, and you will get one of their gourmet garden-inspired salts as a free gift with purchase. And stay tuned on my Instagram this month because Billy and I are going to be doing another botanical and booze happy hour making cocktails inspired by the garden-inspired salt. So thanks for sponsoring this month, Gardenuity, and on with the show. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses
and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio, Hilton.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have you. We've been talking about having you on the show for so long, and it's so nice after so many months of emails to finally connect.
And I feel like it's important to have these discussions. It's one of the things that I find a lot of joy in, which is talking about plants. So let's do it.
Oh my gosh, me too. And I was going to say it's taken us so long because you have just, I'm calling you the king of the urban jungle.
King of the urban jungle is not something I would call myself, but of course, you can call me whatever you like. Just the way that people describe me, I sometimes find it to be a bit more than what I would describe myself as, but I find it all I'm inspired by it, and it definitely is flattering to see or hear people, I guess, describe me as the king of plants or a plant doctor. I'm just another individual, just like most of us, trying to keep our green friends alive. And I just happen to spend a ton of time paying attention to the ones that I have and have some sort of knowledge from that. So, yeah.
That's just what we're all doing, trying to not kill our plants at the end of the day, right? Sure. We're all just trying to not murder things.
For sure.
Okay, I have so many questions about your career, about the evolution of your art, about all of it. But before we dive into what you're doing now, I would love to go back in time and talk to you about your green thumb. And it sounds like you've always grown up around greenery. Can you tell us a little bit about what your upbringing was like and your connection with plants and kind of how it evolved?
False. I have not always been connected or grown up around greenery.
Okay.
I grew up in the city of Baltimore, Maryland, which, if you know Baltimore, like yes, most urban areas, there isn't much green, a lot of concrete. Backyards that is literally just concrete. Right. So as a kid, there wasn't much there. It wasn't until I moved out into the county around the age of 9 or 10 where I saw grass regularly, wow, I think, and would see deer and frogs and things of that I was completely blown away by. But the want to bring in greenery into my home or to surround myself in green hadn't come into my brain until 2011, 2012. I just mentioned this via Instagram. It's just I went to a nursery out in Pennsylvania called Terrain, and they just, yes, have a really wonderful setup there. Mm-hmm. And it really affected me. It made me want to have a space where you could dine but also be next to a really large tree, and seeing a greenhouse full of just like furniture made me think that is the vibe, that's the type of living I want for myself. So from that point on, I kind of had a dream of that being my life. But it wasn't until I moved into a larger apartment, and that happened when I moved to New Orleans in 2014, where I started bringing in a few plants, which a few turned into what some would consider a lot. And then moving to Baltimore, a lot turned into an awful lot.
A whole lot.
And
then, yeah.
And now I just have like what some might say, and I guess a obsession. And to me, it's just like a true passion. That's what I would call it. True passion to bring the outdoors in and make a space just feel fully alive. And then it's just like a constant, let's keep these things alive is where I am now. So yeah.
I love it.
So I didn't have a person in my life that was showing me the ropes on how to care for plants as a kid, or taking me to like a conservatory or nurseries as a kid. It just, that wasn't a part of my childhood at all.
So you kind of woke up. Something I'm really, really interested in right now, because I feel like I'm experiencing a lot, is plant blindness. And like, not when you grow up without plants, like not knowing them, not noticing them, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, oh my God, there are houseplants. Like, I remember going, after I started this podcast, going back to a family friend's home that I had been to 100 times and noticing they had like huge dracaenas in their house that I had never noticed, like waking up from plant blindness. And it sounds like that was when you visited Terrain, and you said 2012?
2012, maybe 2011. I can't really recall. I was there. I was in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania for a commercial shoot. In my full-time life, I work as a director for like commercials and videos. So I work at an ad agency. So I spend my time doing that. So at that time, we were shooting a commercial for a retirement community that has a community right next to Terrain in this part of Pennsylvania. And we just went there to have lunch because we had heard so many great things from the residents that live in this community that, you know, this cafe is really great. Lunch, dinner, you should check it out. And when I walked in, I wasn't expecting what I saw. And it really was like, I guess what you say, that my blindness turned into it was now clarity. I could see beyond just the furniture that was there, like the plants themselves.
Became, and the integration of the two.
Oh, of course. And I think, I mean, I don't recall people in my life growing up, and then even after college, having many plants in their homes. Like, I mean, we had plants in our house when I was a kid, like fake plants. Because for me, I mean, I've always understood plants as a piece of decor, right, in a way, right? Like, mm-hmm. you should have that sort of look in your home, a piece of it to just give you a part of nature indoors, right? So
right,
in my house, there were a few fake plants. Like, people have fake flowers, you know. There were like a few fake plants in the house. You have to look, but you don't have to put any time or effort into keeping them alive, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as a kid, I really didn't even think of the what goes into caring for plants. So it really wasn't something I actually thought about until I started really bringing them into my home and into my life, and understanding how much it took to keep them alive. And then to me, like, I'm a really competitive person. And to me, that was like the ultimate like thing there. It was like the challenge of keeping these plants alive. Like, how am I going to do this? I'm going to do it with like, sure, like grit and like patience and like study up on this thing. Like, try to figure this out. Like, how does this work?
So, okay. So if you were doing this in 2012, 2013, this is really...
No, I wasn't doing that. I don't want to make you believe that I was like fully in. I just had the want to bring greenery into my home. But at the time in 2012, I lived in an apartment that was too small to bring in any real plants. And I also lived with all the kids who are possibly listening to this podcast. So I was living with an asshole cat who had all his only attention, his only goal in life was to eat every plant that
Got
was
it.
Around him.
Got it.
So at that time, I didn't have many plants, at least plants that were on the floor. So it wasn't until I moved to New Orleans that the bringing in plants into the home happened. So 2014 was that's when three plants turned into a whole slew of greenery.
And how did you, what resources did you use when you were learning? Because I'm sure that there was social media. Were you going on the internet? Were you reading books? Like, what was your, what was the best way you learned?
For me, there wasn't, there isn't as much, there wasn't as much then as there is now,
right,
when it comes to social
now there's
media,
a ton.
Like, yeah, being able to reach out to someone. So for me, it was definitely the internet. But the one thing, I guess, which I was smart about then, which I try to preach now, is that the people who work in the nurseries are your best source.
Totally. If it's a good nursery,
If it's a good nursery. Now, let's not, exactly.
Don't
if
be
it's
asking
a good
people
nursery,
at Home Depot.
And
yeah.
don't, and, well, that's not even a nursery, is it? I don't consider those nurseries. Don't even, look, if you're, I can say for myself, I will purchase a plant at a Home Depot or Lowe's in a heartbeat. You know why? Because I know the plant I'm purchasing.
Exactly.
You can go to a Home Depot and buy a bird of paradise, and all it'll say is tropical plant.
Right, houseplant.
It's like, oh, houseplant.
Medium
like,
light.
I don't even know. Medium light. And I'm like, that's not even true. But the thing is, it's like if you even if you purchase your plant from a Home Depot, you might be able to take a photo of it and then take it to a nursery and say, hey, to any of the people who work there, what is this that I actually just purchased? But I always say, don't do that, because what I try to preach now is the fact that, or at least you can learn from my failures, right? Like,
totally.
I went through this. Like, I would go and just buy a plant, not know anything about it, get it home and go, okay, what is this plant? Oh man, I done messed up. I don't even know the name of this plant.
Right.
And now we're just figuring it out as we go along, right? So I think the best way I learned was definitely reaching out to folks that work at the nurseries and just saying, hey, tell me the best sort of light, best sort of environment that this plant can thrive in. And this is what I live, or where I live, and this is the type of light I have. And is that going to work? And then also just like Google's your best friend when it comes to a lot of this. Just Google it.
Totally.
And you'll get, and then I say that, and that was then for me. A lot of that is you Google it, you find out, but there's so much information about so many different things and so many methods of how to care for particular types of plants, and it can all be different. And I've seen that. It can all be different.
Yeah,
and what I try
that's
to
really
make,
interesting.
Yeah, and the one thing I try to tell folks when they reach out to me about how to care for their plants is that, look, I don't live with you, and I don't know your plant's situation. I don't know where you're placing it. I don't know the amount of care you're putting into the plant. Also, I'm telling you what I've done for my particular plants and how I've seen them thrive. So that's how I can suggest these particular things. But it may not be best for you. I know how to care for my plants here in Baltimore, Maryland. It's different than what you have, the humidity that you might have in LA versus Miami or wherever you're living. Like, I can tell you that I water my plant every 7 days and it's sitting in a northeast facing window. But your plant is sitting in a west facing window.
And if you live in a drier climate.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's not apples to apples in that sort of way. So it's hard for me to exactly give you all the tools you need to help your plant thrive, but I can try to steer you in the right direction. And I literally love helping in that way, because I wish that there was that sort of hotline or community of sorts that you could just reach out to someone like right away and say, you know about this plant, tell me what I'm doing wrong here. And I get a lot of those messages.
Oh my God, that's my whole Facebook group is like just people posting pictures of their plants and then other people like that are, you know, sick or something and other people coaching them. It's so cool. But you're so right. I love number one that you made plant friends in real life, hashtag plant friends IRL, with your nursery people, because that's the one thing I feel like with gardening is it is such a, and that's why I've loved making this podcast, is it's such a gardening, I feel like, is a hobby that is all about connecting with other people and hearing their experiences, and everybody's experiences are so different. And
is it still a hobby? It's not a lifestyle yet.
I know it's totally a lifestyle.
We're trying to turn this into a lifestyle.
Okay, let's rebrand it. We're currently rebranding right now.
There we go.
But I love that.
But it's funny, too, that you mentioned Google, because I'm finding, because it's on the internet, it can be so varied. If I want to, like, learn about one plant, I'll read five different articles about mm-hmm. or five different care guides about the one plant and then kind of take an average of what all five of those say, because it's kind of wild when you Google stuff, because people writing about their plant care in different areas of the country and different areas of the world are obviously going to have very different experiences. So it ends up, even though you can talk and do research, and that's so important, it also ends up being a little intuitive. It's not just like knitting where you learn how to like do the knot or whatever it's called, and that's over. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like not as straight of a, I guess, line. Oh, I love that.
And I think also to add to that is that anyone that is passionate enough and wants to really keep their plant alive, they'll figure it out. And they'll find out exactly how to do so.
And if you kill it, you learn something from killing it, you know? So it just
I literally just had that conversation. I think that's really? Also important. Yeah. I think that's also like for me, it's just like because I was talking to someone about the idea that I think that I learned so much because of trial and error that mm-hmm. if it was now, if I could reach out to myself and say, hey, how do you care for that fiddle? And I just said, oh, you do this, you do that, and do that. And then I just did those things. It's like teaching a person to fish versus giving them a fish. You know, like if they can't learn from their failures, they're not able to then note what went wrong and then go the opposite way the next time. If you're just showing them, we're just telling them, hey, you just have to do these things. And then they just have nothing but success. And then all of a sudden they then fail. They'll go, well, I don't know why all of a sudden it was doing better. And then now it's not doing as well as it just was. Like they can't put those things together. I think for me, it was a simple thing. I was like, what is happening with this plant? why are you going the way you're going? And then going, okay, take note. Right now there's water sitting in the base of this tray. That wasn't there 2 weeks ago when I watered it, and every leaf was doing fine. This water's been sitting in this tray for the last week. Now all of a sudden I have these like yellow leaves. There's something in there. Let me read up about that. Oh, I'm overwatering my plant. I know now I should probably not have water in my base tray, because that seemed to be the one thing that caused that problem. Yeah. And then you just kind of learn from there. And I think like that's the thing. Like there's so much that comes out of trial and error that it is important to kind of go through those things and not like myself. And I would, and this is also why I try to give as much of my knowledge as I possibly can. It's just that I take this at like a real, like personal level. Like plants not doing too well, I take it personally and I don't feel too well about it. So I would prefer you not to go through what I have to go or what I go through, and to save you some frustration.
Oh my gosh!
By saying, "Hey, you're about to screw that up. You should do this, because I went through that and it ruined my entire day,
so, my entire week."
So yeah,
listening to you just talk about that kind of reminded me of something that I say about when I'm performing, is like, do all the work, learn all the lines, make sure the notes are perfect, like make sure you do all the work ahead of time. But then when you get on stage, you have to just like let go and not think about all the preparation work you've done. And I feel like just from listening to you talk about, you can like do the research, you can talk to the people, you can do it all. But then at the end of the day, when it comes to actually caring for your plant, it's going to be about what you are experiencing and figuring out in the moment and what it's teaching you, and like going completely kind of in the moment with the plant.
For sure.
Kind of like riding on all that research. That's so interesting. Yeah. I love that. So, okay. Well, another question I had for you, just as we were talking about the past leading up to the present, did you notice, like, was there a different plant vibe in New Orleans versus Baltimore versus what was the third place you've lived?
LA.
Yeah. Like I guess you can get really different plants in those different areas, but is there a large difference?
LA and New Orleans are more plant thriving locales, I would say. So you'll see, like, LA and California in general, you'll just see so many succulents and cacti just living outdoors all day, like jade plants that are the size of real trees, like real
and they flower. Size
trees. And they flower. You'll see, I saw a rubber tree that literally was just a real tree, like a tree where the leaves are as like 2 feet long rubber tree leaves. Like, oh, just like, amazing. How is this something? And just, I mean, and then, I mean, at that point in time when I was living in LA, I wasn't really paying attention that much to what it was. I just saw it as a tree. It wasn't until I knew what a rubber tree actually was. I was like, oh, this is a houseplant. And then you see them outside just living. You're like, what's happening here? This is amazing. So LA and obviously New Orleans has more of a tropical climate. So you'll see more of the like palms, or you'll see more of the ferns just growing, living outside. Like there's like wild, like monstera just living outside someone's like front lawn, as if it's just a weed, as it would here in Baltimore. In Baltimore, you don't see stuff like that. You don't see much greenery when it comes to like people being able to have a diverse variety of plants, or the stuff that you want to bring that you have indoors, like outside. And that's the thing that I thought, or that kind of grabbed me the most when I was in LA and New Orleans, is that you see so much of what we are bringing in indoors here in Baltimore, or just in like colder climate places, Baltimore, Philly, New York, all of these urban places. We're trying to have a piece of what these warmer climate areas have, but because we either live in big cities where there isn't much, we're just bringing that stuff indoors. And I feel like that's the payoff here. So if you're just walking the streets, you might not see much green or like palms or rubber trees, but you go in people's homes here, you'll see a lot of that now. I mean, you go anywhere right now, you'll see a bunch of plants in people's homes. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's the major difference between where I live now and where I lived before.
All right, cool. So I love that we've gotten to talk about kind of how you got here. Now we need to talk about your space and the incredible styling that you've done and your incredible collection. I feel like you have such a wonderful style when it comes to plant. And personally, I don't know much about plant styling. So I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey with your personal collection as it's grown, kind of learning all of the amazing aesthetic prowess that you have. Like, can you kind of give us a look inside there?
So as far as just like how I have grown the collection, I guess is kind of where you're headed, and decisions on how to place them in my space. The collection or the family has grown more so based on not only just like, wow, that's a really cool plant, I need to have it, but also based on the fact that over the years, as I've moved and traveled from one city to another, the amount of space, not only horizontally, but also vertically, has grown, which means I've had more light, more windows in my spaces to then gradually grow this sort of plant family. So for me, it's been trying to, in the early stages, it was like, I really like that plant. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to bring it into my home, and then I'm going to fail at it.
Totally. I can relate.
So, and then slowly learning from all of that and deciding on what was best for the particular situation that I was in. So knowing that I had a particular, I guess, type of want when it comes to the types of plants. So a lot of the plants that I started gravitating towards were more so plants that I knew I could have a real handle of based on previous, I guess, run-ins with those particular plants. So at this point, I believe there's a lot of repeats in my space. So I don't branch out too far past what I know and that I want to really care for. So you'll find a lot of a few fiddles, some monsteras, snake plants for sure, ZZ plants, a lot of those low maintenance plants as well, just because once you get to a certain number, I would say, when it mm-hmm. plants in your home.
You're not a maiden hair fern guy.
No, I'm not a fern guy, really.
Me neither.
I have a few, but they're like, oh my gosh. If you're not living in Portland, what's the point?
You know? Yeah.
It's like, they're really hard. So I love people. I respect people who can take a fern and keep it living gracefully and thriving. I have a fern over my bed, and that is... it's a real task to keep mm-hmm. that bad boy looking good. So that's the one fern. I have to actually have a couple that I care for, but that's the one that I have to, like, that's an everyday. As far as like taking the plants and making them work in the space, that to me is all about understanding like where a particular plant should have its moment to shine. So for me, I always say like if you're styling a space, like, there should always be a statement plant, right?
Okay.
Like you always, or like a statement piece of sorts. So you have your staples when it comes to furniture. Everyone needs a couch. Everyone wants to, everyone has to have a coffee table. There's a lamp. Obviously, there has to be a plant. Now, the plant that you have has to set the tone. So when someone comes into your home, their face just is blown off instantly. Like what
when
is
they look at Frank.
Exactly. Frank Frank is the real, I guess, cream of my crop. Like, he is everything that I've ever dreamed him to be. Like, everything I ever wanted when I first got him. Like, oh, man, you're going to be a really cool plant. You're going to grow so large. And I was always just like, you're never going to make it because I'm going to kill you. Like, all of those moments in between, I guess, the last four change, I guess, that we've had together. The vision of what he would become has happened. Yet at this point, my wife and I move, I'm concerned on what's going to happen, because right. How am I going to move this monster out of this apartment,
especially because he's so wide now. It's not like you can put him in like a large packing box or something like that. That would require a very special moving company.
It's very true. I might just have to just break through the windows and mm-hmm. have them craned out. But yeah, it's basically start there with a statement plant. And everyone thinks that, you know, the idea is just like to get a really cool plant. Right now, plants are super expensive, but you also got to consider the dress, the jeans, what the plant has to wear, the shoes of sorts, which I call the pot.
Totally. Like,
that has to also be a part of the decor and what you're going to place in your space. So you got to understand, like, well, my style is a bit here or there. It's not just, oh, I'm going to toss it in a terracotta pot or this really cheap plastic pot from a hardware store. So it's bringing those things together and understanding that also that you don't want to have a super large plant blocking all of the light in your window, because now you're limited. Yeah, I guess you're limited to what that plant is, and you're not going to be able to place a bunch of other little plants further into your space.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. When you say statement plant, it doesn't necessarily need to be like a 4-foot fiddleleaf fig tree, right?
For sure. Statement plant is just like an awe factor. Now, I'm not talking size. Size isn't always that great, even though I'm 6'5 and I am great. No. No, it's all about, like, it can be a really cool Christmas cactus, right? Yeah. But it just has to, I feel like your statement plant is something that when someone comes in there, it instantly makes that those folks that are entering your space go, I need a plant. I need to step my game out. I need to get more plants. I need to bring in plants into my space. Like, that's kind of what I'm talking about. It makes the statement of, yes, this type of living, this green living, indoor plant living is where it's at. I got to take that home with me. So that's what I mean when I say statement plant.
I love that. And do you find that there are particular types of plants that go well together from an aesthetic point of view? Like, have you just noticed now as you're working with more plants that certain types gravitate towards each other or not really?
You know what? I'm all about mixing up the foliage. I move my plants around in a small, I would say, area. So I don't take up too much. I don't move one from a really nice bright spot to a really dark spot. What I mean is I will put a fiddle in front of a bird of paradise and then go, that doesn't look too cool.
Right.
Now let's switch it up and then put the rubber tree to the base of the bird of paradise and then take a Chinese fan palm and then throw that in the mix because it's the shape. I really think the shape of the foliage and the color, like all that mixture, like having it like variegated rubber tree next to a fiddle leaf. I'm just looking at the leaves themselves, right?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Look at all the leaves. So you know, you have a bird of paradise leaf, like the shape of a bird of paradise next to a fan palm. To me, is when I think about it, that feels like jungle.
Totally.
You see what I'm saying? So when I think of that, I'm like, that sets the tone of, you were talking about the indoor jungle. That takes me to jungle. Now, when you bring in ferns, that's a whole different look. So when you want something that feels more like jungle vibe, like bringing in a fern to me isn't really saying that. That says to me like forest, you know. So it's a different sort of feel to me. So that's where I kind of differ when it comes to like what type of vibe am I setting in here? Like is it warm and cozy or humid and cozy and real nice? Are we drinking margaritas and just like listening to some sort of like bongo style music, or are we like Pacific Northwest feeling like wearing a hoodie, sipping on some nice coffee and just dreaming, you know? So it like, that's the type of vibe you have to think about what you want to set in your home. So for me, like that sort of like real jungle feel, those are the plants that I lean towards and bring into my home, because that to me instantly sets that sort of look.
Totally. So, and I think too, like, it's interesting you say that, because too, if you're a minimalist style is going to look totally different, or like this mid-century modern style that's all over. Yeah, it's totally about the vibe you want to bring into your house. I love that.
Sure. Like I don't think like someone who's like a minimalist wouldn't bring in a money tree.
Right.
For something some reason,
I just feel like sporadic, like kind of crazy.
Exactly. And I believe that being a minimalist and having like one plant to me is really cool. Like sometimes when I see images of a place that's real minimal and they just have like one nice plant sticking up, that to me looks so cool. Sometimes I dream of having that life. It'll never happen.
But I love that you say that, because I feel like, especially you having so many plants, I love that you say that because I feel like everybody now feels like they have to have 100 plants to like be a true plant parent. And you're so right. Like, you could have one kick-ass plant that you take care of and love so much and looks so structurally, like one fiddly fig that structurally looks so beautiful in, you know, front of your windowsill, and that's it, in a really minimalist home. Like, you're still a plant parent if you're taking care of that one plant. It's not about quantity, it's about quality.
That's the best type of plant parent.
Or quality, I mean, and quantity for some people. Not knocking either type of lifestyle, but there shouldn't feel the pressure, right?
I'm right with you. I feel like one plant, if you're a one plant person and that's what you can care for, go for it. Go all the way. I mean, it's just like having anyone that has 100 cats is instantly going to be arrested, right?
Right.
Or take it to some hospital. Like, that's not, you just can't do that. But the idea of caring for one thing, like, I don't know if you ever seen the movie The Professional.
No.
Like, the main character in there just had this one plant that he just loved. And I really think the idea of that, like, being able to care for just this thing that is important to you, there's something special in that. So I have all the respect for people who are self-aware enough to go, I'm a one plant person, and I'm going to care for it, and I'm going to take this plant from whatever status is at that moment to full-grown beast mode. And that's great. But if someone's like, I have 100 plants, and they kill like 50 every week, every 2 weeks, I have zero respect for that.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I feel like I'm at, I hit 60 plants and I was like, okay, this is me. This is where I'm at. Like, 61 plants is not going to look good on me. Like, 60 plants is the max for me.
There we go.
In my small, very small, for my 500 square feet that I'm working with, like, that's it.
Well, that's most of New York, right?
Totally. Totally. You get the windowsills and the corners covered, and then you're like, all right, Maria, we got to cool it. Yeah, we're rocking out at 60, but my boyfriend has put me on a pretty strict plant pause. Also, just speaking of partners, I wanted to say I loved in your recent Wall Street Journal article, or the video, how your wife was talking about how she has her own cactus corner. And she takes care of those cactuses, and you guys have your own separate plant schedules for each other.
Man, literally just before I got on this call, I took the Christmas cactus from her, and there was another cacti that I said, hey, this isn't
going well, and you're done.
Oh my God, that's a little hysterical. She's not done on the window. She was like, I never thought I'd be yelled at for overwatering a plant. I'm like, what are you? Come on. Yes, you're gonna yell that for overwatering as well. So we definitely have two different. It's not even two different schedules. It's at a certain point we realize that, because I also understand that my wife wants to chip in when it comes to taking care of the plants. But you could get into a moment where obviously I have a certain amount of time or free time that I want to do the things that I want to do, like water plants, and then she has her free time. And so if she's just watering plants on a Thursday and I just water them on a Monday and she doesn't know what plants I watered, then it can become difficult. And then that's when we kill a bunch of plants. So if you say, all right, well, these are your plants and these are my plants, in a way where it's just like, these are what you're going to take care of. Obviously they're all of our plants, but she's on snake patrol. In snake patrol, she waters all the snake plants, a lot of the low maintenance
snake
type
patrol.
Things.
So, I love that.
So she takes care of the snake plants, the air plants, and then this full window of small cacti and succulents. Now, just in that video, I mean, I think that video kind of made it seem as though she doesn't care about, that's what I said. I was like, I don't think, this video makes you seem like you don't care for plants. And then I realized that actually it just makes me seem like I really.
Yeah, it
like
makes
plants.
You seem extra, but she totally seems into it. I did not get that impression of her at all.
I was like, it seems like you don't even like plants and I'm just a normal guy. She was like, no, that is not what's happening there.
No, honey.
So yeah, funny. Exactly. But she's really the one who I would say, like you said, your boyfriend does, keeps a real lid on, like, all right, we should slow down a bit because I'm having issues walking through the home. I just stepped on this leaf or a
or there's dirt on the floor. Air root, there's potting there's dirt soil. On the floor.
Yeah. Come on, you're just gonna get used to that. There's definitely something. There's something somewhere. So yeah, she does her best to keep me in check, and I'm better off for it. So yeah.
I love that. But anyway, going back to styling, oh my gosh, we we could just, I feel like, ramble and jam on life for hours. But anyway, so going back to styling and your aesthetic, another thing that you brought up was pots. And what I've noticed is that sometimes for me, the pots that I want to buy tend to sometimes be more expensive than the plants. Have you found any outlets that you like buying pots specifically at? Because that's, I feel like, what I struggle with sometimes.
Of course.
From a budget perspective.
I get it. Look, you're in the plant game right now. You have to understand that everyone's caught on. So they're going to charge you a little bit extra for anything that's plant related.
And nothing has drainage. Nothing has built-in drainage.
Oh, well, I'm actually doing a plant doctor episode on that very soon to give everyone my thoughts on all of that.
Follow him on iPlantEven's Instagram account.
iPlantEven, it's apartment therapy's plant account. They are doing some really fun stuff over there, including just having me talk about plants
every day.
Awesome.
You're doing something every day with them. It's amazing.
Pretty awesome. But yeah, I feel like here's the thing: you can't work around it because you can't work around it easily because right now there's so much going into creating these really cool, these really sexy, beautiful pieces. So people are selling them because they also understand that, like, you are trying to place your really nice couch or piece of art or chair, table in your home. The planter itself is also a piece of art of sorts. It's like, it's something
totally
that you also want to. Exactly. So for me, the only, I guess, tip or trick I would say when it comes to finding things that are really beautiful, but you can find them on the cheap, are going to flea markets, thrift stores. I would say if you like are in a space where you have the ability to barter, like if you're a photographer and you want a really nice planner, talk to one of these ceramicists who are doing it via IG and talk a deal with them. If that's the way you want to go. If you are literally, for me, the best spots when I knew that were like in LA, like when I would go to the Rose Bowl flea market, like so many now when I say planters, some of these things weren't even made to be planters or to have plants in them. They're just like mm-hmm. old school baskets maybe, or really old like ceramic bowls or things of that nature. You have to find a way to have the vision to see it later and to understand that that would be a really awesome vessel for my plant. Like I have this air plant that's inside of a wooden tiger head, and for me, like, I didn't know what that was going to hold, I would say, when I got it home. But once I put it up on the wall, I said, man, that mouth needs to be filled with an air plant. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's always just like being able to envision something else for it. So if they can't see it as a plant holder, the person that's making it or selling it, and you can, like, a bowl, you can buy a bowl for cheaper than you can a planter. So if you can find ways to make it work, I say make it work. Like, I try to find as many cool ways of finding base trays as possible, because the base trays, some of these planters don't come with base trays.
Totally.
Right? So make it work for yourself. Find like a really cool like quiche dish. I found this $9.10 quiche dish at IKEA. And I use that as a base tray for some of my white pots, like the base of my white pots, because it looks kind of cool. But there's other things out there that you can use to make your space look like it's top level versus just grabbing the average terracotta pot that can cost you from $5 to $20. You know, I feel like it's out there. You just have to search for it. I mean, it'll take a bit of time searching for it. But again, like people are like, well, where'd you get that really nice plot? Like some of those things, you just have to go, you know what? It's an investment. Like I have a really big fiddle leaf. I need a really big pot, and I'm just not going to find something like that at a thrift store or whatever. So I got to go to where they are, and so I might end up purchasing a planter that costs $200. But to me, it's worth it because I hopefully won't see myself killing the plant that I'm placing in it anytime soon, and that's going to be its home for as long as I can keep it alive. So that would be my tip. That's what I would say about that.
I love that. And also, it's the mixture. If you're going to have more than five plants, you can totally have the $200 pot for one plant, but then you can go to the thrift store and find the $3 bowl that you turn into a pot, or the thing that you repurpose, and it can be a really nice mixture of high price and low price stuff as long as you're creative.
Definitely.
Now, Do you find, because this is something I'm struggling with too, do you have like a color scheme that you stick to for your pots to keep everything cohesive?
In my space, yes. I'm not into the bright colors.
Okay, so you stick to neutrals and muted. And you obviously love wood and glass because of your really cool propagation.
Cradles. Because you gotta take... Because you're raising little babies and you had to put them in a cradle. And,
oh my God, that's adorable. Like that.
So yeah, the cradle. Look, I feel like for me, my personal taste is to keep things earth tones, darker, moodier. I was on some account and they called me the goth of plants.
Really?
Goth of plants. Yeah, I don't forget what it
that's was, funny.
Who was it? Yeah.
I don't know if I would call you goth, but I understand like the darker jungle vibe.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's just I'm more into darker tones, so a lot of the planters I'll keep are just like black, white, grays, a lot of like terracotta I think is a really awesome color to have, but you have to mix that up with the rest of the things I'm talking about. Like even like weave baskets. I feel like those have a really nice look to them. But also I like to support like local ceramicists that are in my area that do really nice pots as well. I'm trying to get them to make bigger pots, but you know, it's hard to throw something that large. Mm-hmm. But for the cradle is actually just a propagation vessel that I wanted to have so that I could have a green wall in my home. And then I decided to sell them because people started commenting on them and liking them and wanting them for their home. Just to be in full transparency, because to me, it's all about having fun and sharing with the community. 2015, I walked into an IKEA. And again, like I say, you have to have that vision. They had a spice rack that I was like, that thing would be awesome to propagate in. And I put it on my wall and started propagating. So anyone who doubts where you've ever seen people propagating in IKEA vessels, that was from me. And I want anyone to try to go back and find the oldest image of someone propagating in the IKEA spice rack, and I'm positive it's me. So
that's so funny.
And that's 2015. For those who are listening. So I was like, you know what? I'm not a real fan. I was a fan of having the one, so then I put 16. And I was like, you know what? It has to have a bit more edge to it. No pun intended, but I thought the live edge look of wood would have been a much better decision. So I went with that. Talked to a local maker here in Baltimore. This guy named Tony, and he really did his job to create that look. And now I feel like it's one of the things I basically posted about today. It's just, it's just a really great piece of art. That's how I see it.
They're so beautiful. A great piece of
living art. Thank you.
They really are. And I love how you turn them into a whole wall and how people can buy, you know, the single or the double or the four and then build your own like installations with them.
It's a fun thing.
Speaking of propagating, we had a couple of listeners write in with questions for you. And sorry, I'm just jumping all over the place with you. I have so many fun questions for you. But one of the listeners wrote in asking you if you've ever propagated fiddly fig
leaves from leaf cuttings. Have you ever done that successfully?
No, you always have to take a bit of the branch as well. You can't just cut straight from the leaf, but I've never had any success doing that. I've only had success taking a bit of the branch.
If I was to ask you, how do you do that? Could we cover that very shortly or not really?
Fiddles and rubber trees are both tip cuttings for propagating. So
okay.
Where the tip of the branch is still green, you can then make a cut there. And from that point, so you have to make sure you have at least, I say, three healthy leaves attached to it, two to three. And then you make that cut there where it's still green. So if you take a look at a fiddle leaf fig, it's a tree. So at a certain point of the branch looks really tree-like, like there's bark and it just looks like a real sturdy tree. But as you get to the tip, the ends of the branches, that's where it's still green, correct?
Okay, yeah.
So someone emailed me or messaged me and they said, I think something's wrong with my rubber tree. It's turning these really weird colors and it's like forming, like the shapes look really crazy. I'm not sure what to do. I fertilized it and I'm not sure what's happening. And I was like, well, I can't diagnose this situation unless I see what you're talking about. So she sent me an image of her rubber tree and I was like, well, that's just what happens to a rubber tree when it matures. It's just growth. So I just thought it was funny that someone had that sort of like, hey, I want you to help me, really help me with this question that I just thought was, oh, no, that's just normal.
Right.
So
your tree's doing great.
Same. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the same for rubber trees. So anyone's listening and you want to do fiddle or rubber trees, exactly the same method. And then I place it in just regular tap water. And then the rest of it is like it's on the individual. I would say also just keep it out of the sun. Bright sun is not good.
So don't take a leaf off and stick it in water. Go toward the end of the branch, go back three leaves and cut there.
Wherever it's still, it all depends on the...
Wherever it's still green.
Point, wherever it's still green, exactly.
Okay, great. Okay, I'm happy I asked that. And then one more...
I have a feeling that all these questions are just your questions.
Oh my God, they're totally not. I don't have a fiddly fig. I don't have the space. No, these are listener questions, I swear. The other question someone wrote in for you is it normal for their figs to only grow seasonally, like only in the spring, to get a lot of growth and then not grow at all and then grow a lot again? Have you experienced that with your figs?
Well, they're going to slow in growth in the colder months, of course, but you'll probably see...
dormant.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'll see a bit of growth here and there throughout all the months with ours. I definitely would say yes. That happens. You'll see a ton of growth throughout spring, summer, and then once the days are shorter and it's time for your plants to take a little nap,
they
won't grow as much. So yeah,
that's another thing too. Because you know, now that I've experienced having plants for a year, going through them seasonally, they really do act differently. It is nature. Like things go dormant and then they wake up again. It's kind of amazing, but I definitely experienced that too, even though that wasn't my question. Noticing plants not growing as much or like just kind of chilling, being like, are they okay? Because last month they were growing so much. Like it is a really interesting transition, you know?
For sure.
Hilton, back to some questions that I have for you. It seems like you have your hand in so many different planty pots, and I just want to know all the amazing things that you do for this community, because I feel like every time I check a social media there's something new. Your primary plant thing is Jungle by the Falls, right?
Jungle by the Falls is an event or a studio space that people can rent and okay. use for photo shoots, video shoots, if they just want to come by and drink some tea. They could, but they can rent it out hourly sometimes, and they can rent it out full and half days. So for me, it's also a space it was a space created because I had many offers. People kept asking about filming in my home, and
really?
My wife and I just weren't. Yeah, they just weren't. We weren't really into it. So I reached out to the people who actually own my building. They owned another mill down the falls. And I spoke with them about opening up this event space. So there, I guess, so I just have this apartment that I just brought in all this furniture and all these plants to give it almost the same look as my apartment, but a bit different. So that's what Jungle by the Falls is. So in Jungle by the Falls, literally yesterday, I just announced that I decided, like, there were, I was, since I've had it, I've done like workshops in there for like plant care and propagation, and I've held other little events, just little parties to get people to understand plants of that nature. So I've opened it up so people could come in and take a look, or just to talk about plants. But I was like, you know what, there's other uses for this space. So I decided to have a friend and I talked about doing these dinner series where once a month we will just have people, 20 fine folks, come by and enjoy some amazing cuisine by some of the best chefs in Maryland, where they just literally make what they're excited about, this four-course meal for 20 special guests who just want to come by and hang out. And I felt like, to me, it's all like, anytime I'm hanging out in I guess in that space, I'm like, I just want to do everything here. I want to eat here. I want to sleep here. I want to do my homework. I want to have that be what it, and that's why I bring so many plants into the space that I live in, is that I just want to be surrounded by that sort of feeling. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what, who wouldn't want to eat at a table in this space, or eat tables in this space? And so far it seems like everyone is on board, because at this very moment, I think we have 3 more seats left. And it's only been up for about 20, 30,
yeah,
almost 40 hours. So, yeah.
That is so cool. And I just want to say congratulations, because that's so full circle from you starting this plant journey, from being inspired by that meal you had at Terrain. I mean, it's like, it's so full circle, right?
Just, you almost popped my top just now, because I didn't even think about that.
Really?
No. Oh, man. Yes, you're right. That's exactly what I was thinking about. No, I wasn't even thinking about that. That is so perfect.
Isn't that beautiful?
It's amazing. I mean, it really is one of those things where I feel like that sort of dining experience is something that people leave and go and talk to their friends about. And not only that, like, they want, just like I have, they want to recreate that. And that, to me, is something special. Like, yeah. I'm all about, like, creating those moments or having moments and, like, wanting to share that. So my friend and I, Elon, who is doing this with me, we're both going to be, like, the servers. We're gonna
the front of house, plates. Yeah.
But, yeah, I haven't bussed or served someone since 2001 when I worked at a restaurant here. So I'm excited about that. See how many plates I can lay across my one arm.
Oh my gosh. Can I come there and like busboy for you one week?
Come through. Come through.
I would love it.
Definitely love to have you.
That would be so fun. And I'm just so, I also just, I'm so impressed by your entrepreneurial spirit of starting Jungle by the Falls. So it's totally rentable. So if I wanted to rent it for like a party or anything, you just contact you and people can do their own festivities in it and just have a beautiful planty backdrop for whatever they're doing.
For sure. There's been pregnancy photos taken there, engagement photos taken there, boudoir photos taken there.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it got real weird. and holiday parties there, commercial shoots there, a lot of really fun things. I'm just really grateful that people have said really nice things about it to their friends, who I think a lot of the business has come from word of mouth. So someone told someone else and then they saw it on Instagram and they said yes. So what I find so awesome is that when people, like, some folks will rent it out and I'll be there to and moments to either let them in or to lock up or mm-hmm. just there. People don't even know me.
Right.
They don't know me. They don't know the account. They're just like, I'm here because I like Jungle by the Falls. Who are you? And I'm like, I'm Hilton. They're like, who's that?
Who's that? Who's Hilton? That's cool. That's humbling. You're like the janitor.
Yeah, like Jungle by the Falls is its own thing, and I love that. So for me, like starting, like having that as something is just. When we start talking about entrepreneurial spirit, mm-hmm. That to me has just been the way I've been since I was a kid. Like you have to find an outlet for your creativity and whatever it is that you want to do. Like you just do it. Like, it just feels like, to me, there's so much opportunity in, in the now, when it comes to social media and internet. Like, take advantage of the things that you have in you that you want to create. There's someone that wants to see it, or someone that wants to be a part of it. So, like, that's where I'm at with all of it. There's not enough time in a day to create. So, you have to push out as much as possible. And also, I just probably created Jungle by the Falls just so I had a location to shoot my next film. Who knows?
I love it. So. I love that. Well, and I love that it also gives you the space to not, you know, I think a lot of people in the plant space, their plants are their thing. So their lives get, your personal life gets very public very quickly. And so it's nice that you were able to give yourself the separate space so people aren't always coming into your home. That's very smart and very cool. And everything you just said just brought such a smile to my face, because I feel like just from a personal perspective, and also I know that a lot of listeners to the show are either in the plant space already or thinking about getting into it. And just everything you just said just confirms it, right? If you've got the passion for it and you've got the idea, just go make it happen.
Oh, for sure. Where I am today isn't where I would have placed myself or envisioned myself a year and a half ago, right? In 2016, the vision was to, or it still is, and which I have been doing, is to just be an interior stylist in my other life, right? Mm-hmm. From 5 to 2 in the morning, let's be an interior stylist. And on my weekends, obviously. So taking photos of my home and creating or styling other people's spaces, like now it tends to lean more towards the green, or people started commenting or reacting more towards the plants than anything else. And it actually allowed me to then style the Jungle by the Falls, which then led me to then style a client's home, because she actually did a shoot for her clothing label at Jungle by the Falls. And she said, I need my home to be like this. Please come and create that for me. So it had a weird way of working itself out. But that's what's so like, that's kind of, and this is where related to having plants. Like, they branch out into these, and here's the pun.
I love it.
They branch out into all of these weird, ways, and you just never know what's going to happen. But all of it is new life, right? Like, new leaves form, and you're just like, all right, cool, let's go with it. And then sometimes, which I'm trying to do right now, once they get really freaky and start growing crazy, then you have to rotate it, which is, that pivot of sorts. And then allow the other ends to get a little bit of time in the light. So for me, it's just been such a really fun, really interesting ride when it comes to just living just my life. Like, just I love plants, and people are like, that's amazing, I love plants too. And I'm like, I'm not weird. We're right. All weird together. Oh,
we're all weird
great.
Together. This planty community, it's pretty insane. Yeah, it's pretty remarkable for sure.
I take that back. I don't even think we're weird anymore. It's weird when people don't have plants. I think now, at this point.
We're cool. We're the cool kids now. We're not the weirdos anymore.
Exactly. Remember when they were calling people nerds, and then the nerds got popular? Like, that's where we are.
That's it. Revenge of the nerds. Oh, my gosh. Well, I can't think of like a better – there are a million more questions I want to ask you, but I feel like that's just the most beautiful place to end.
Of course. Thank you for having me. And for just a little note or a little tip at the end of this, for all those who are trying to create that space in their home where they have greenery throughout, just be very mindful that the living things fight through it. If they look like they're dying, step back, give them some space. They might not be fully out. So I hear a lot of that, like, I walked away from my plant, I put it near the trash can, I came back and it was doing so much better. And I was like, yes, remember, it's always you. It's never the plant. It's always you. Know what you're getting yourself into. Know the plant. Know how to care for it. Do the homework. Get on top of it. Make it work, or give it to someone who can. That's it.
I love that. I like to say they're like little aliens you just have to figure out how to communicate with, right?
Exactly.
It's a good practice. Exactly. It's a really good practice.
I love it.
Where are all the places we can find you? Because there's Jungle by the Falls. There's Things by Hilton Carter, if people are interested in getting your cradles. Where are all of your different outlets and places?
As far as being out there in the world, you can find me on Instagram. But you can find me at thingsbyhc.com for all of the little products I like to make and sell. And at Jungle by the Falls, if you're in the area and you want to stop by or rent the space. And then at Service at the Jungle, if you're in the area and you want a really nice meal for every first coming. Sunday of the month. It's Sunday service, people.
I'm ready for that. If you come in a few months, maybe you'll see Maria being the busboy clearing the clearing the plates for everyone.
Come on, I'll be right there with you.
I'm ready for a field trip, man. Well, thank you, Hilton, for spending time with me and just lending me your beautiful insight and ideas and just sharing your story with us. I'm so thankful to you. Thank you, Hilton, and thank you, Gardenuity, for sponsoring this episode. We are going to end each episode this month with a fun Gardenuity herb fact. So today, Gardenuity's fun fact of the week is that rosemary has been used for ages not only as the perfect complement to your roast chicken or your roast potatoes, the way I eat it every week, but it actually has been thought to improve memory. So the next time you have a little rosemary in your garden, think about snipping some and putting it in a bouquet that you can keep on your desk or tossing some in your bath as a way to unwind and stimulate your senses. To learn more about how to get your own custom garden kit from Gardenuity, visit www.gardenuity.com. That's gardenuity.com. And don't forget to use the code BLOOM at checkout to redeem your free gourmet garden inspired salt. All right, plant friends, until next week.
Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you want to join the Bloom and Grow Garden Club, head over to bloomandgrowradio.com/garden-club to join the planty fun. When you join, you get a free download of the Keep Blooming print that Molly Mansfield made exclusively for us, and you will also get an email with the password to the private Facebook group, which is what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is pretty amazing. For behind-the-scenes scoop, plant tips I learn along the way, and sneak peeks of future episodes, follow me on Instagram at @bloomandgrowradio. And plant friends, I'm here for you, so drop me a line if you have an idea for an episode, live event, or maybe if you're a planty business looking to sponsor the show. I am always here to help you keep blooming and keep growing.
Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya
will pop up. So you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.